This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour number 2 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a glorious Cowboys Monday. You're celebrating and taking it all in as this team sits here at 3-1 going into 2 big games against NFC contenders Rams and Bird Turds. And we're here to talk all about it all season long. General at your service. There's former Cowboys scout Brian Broaddus, a Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup. You have Woolchuck and Chiafalo, Carter Freeman. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation. It's time now for Zach Woolchuck and his Cowboys Monday Super Segment. Here he is, Woolchuck.
Hell yes, it's a Cowboys Victory Monday. Let's talk about some stars from the Cowboys 25-10 whooping of those Commanders. Who were some stars for you? 877-881-1053. While we're having this discussion, can this Cowboys defense still be holding their opponents to under 20 points a game? Micah Parsons afterwards saying, oh, he thinks this defense can hold them to fewer. It's the first time that the Cowboys have held their opponents to under 20 points in their first 4 games since 1973. That is incredible. And Micah wasn't even happy with this defense's performance. He was like, look, guys, we had more sacks than we left on the field. He was critical of his own performance. Said, I got to do a better job finishing as the best player on this defense. I do think this is the best defense right now in the league. Just through 4 weeks, when you look at their pass rush, DeMarcus Lawrence is leading the league in pressures. Trayvon Diggs, already 2 picks. He's got back-to-back interceptions and back-to-back games. He also is leading the league in pass breakups. Mm. He's been fantastic.
I think his new nickname should be Dikembe. Because he's swatting him out of the air.
No, no, no.
He needs to start shaking his finger like Mutombo.
Not today. Sex Mutombo. But I think my number one star to start the list, boys, I think it's Donovan Wilson.
Donovan Wilson.
Oh, he was shutting it down.
He's number one in my heart. Has been since 2020. We had a little speed bump there. We went over to J-Ron Curse last year, but now we are back. Donovan Wilson is an absolute monster. I love this dude to death. And what he brings to the table right now defensively, McQuamu as well. The safety situation right now, Hooker is not having these splash plays, but still been very, very good. Gosh, when we get J-Ron Curse back, it's just an embarrassment of riches.
I'm feeling very safe.
Spot, but
I'm feeling very safe.
Very,
back
very safe. As
what,
safe
man.
As we've felt in years.
Great play by. We've seen Wilson play down so much in the box and stuff like that. Be around the ball. That ball he made on McLaurin. That ball that went deep, they're playing, it's 3rd and 16, they're playing on the sticks, 4 across, and he takes the deep, you know, he takes the deep third, knocks mm-hmm. the ball away. I mean, that's just a great play, read, reaction, because, no, you know, they were all the corners and stuff, linebackers were across, and he had to go and hustle to make that play. He did a great job, and not only playing up, but being able to play back as that true free safety.
I felt like he was the best player on the field yesterday.
He was all over the place. I mean, Donovan Wilson's been absolutely fantastic, and he's a heat-seeking missile. But you're right, Brian. The coverage ability was on full display yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing about, you know, you want your guy to be able to do both. And, you know, sometimes you have that guy that could just play down in the box and make plays and, you know, keep everything in front of him. But if you have a guy that can turn, run, find the ball, you know, and cut routes off in the deep, you know, the deep quarter of the field. I mean, that's a big time football right there.
Kudos to him. I mean, he was a raw guy, you know, who would come blow you up.
He was a guy that was a lot of hurt, draft pick.
But he was always hurt. Remember, yeah. He was always dealing with something. It was always something that was wrong, and now he's playing to the level that it gets him noticed.
469, Van Der Esch was everywhere the first 10 plays. It did look like early in that one, Leighton Van Der Esch was going to make every single tackle of this football game.
Yeah, they struggled a little bit, though, and you get the All-22. I hope folks can get the opportunity to take a look. There were some times where the fits weren't great on those outside run plays. I kind of felt like that Leighton was a little slow on a couple, but he was kind of having to deal with some other things that were happening in front of him, so maybe that made him hesitate a little bit on some of those plays. So, yeah, but Leighton is a guy that's always going to be around the ball if he can.
We also have, from the 972, Cooper Rush is my star. Hard not to give a star to Cooper Rush as one of the stars of this game, and he made some big-time throws.
Any love for Gallimore on there with the on the Twitter?
Neville Gallimore had his best game. Nobody has texted in Neville Gallimore yet. I don't see anybody on
Gallimore
the Twitch.
Was, and then you look at the situation. Gallimore was hard. You talk about the Commanders guys inside hard to block. He was pretty hard to block yesterday in that game as well.
And he very disruptive. Because Bohanna goes down.
Yeah, well, see, the thing about it was he was not very good on Monday night, and I think he kind of felt like, man, I let everybody down on this defense. And you got to earn your keep on this defense. You can't, you know, you can't go out there and play half, you know what. You
got to be a geek off the street, right?
No, no.
Mount up.
No, so you got to get it going out there. And he heard the whispers about him and played a much better game.
We also have CeeDee Lamb, of course. The one CeeDee Lamb drive where it was three consecutive passes to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then, of course, that route, the 30-yard touchdown, which you broke down for us there in Trusty's corner.
Great design by the Cow, and great job by Dalton Schultz. Not a factor in much of the other of the part of the game, but that was a really nice route to hold that safety there.
21 catches for 270 yards, I think, since that disappointing week one performance by CeeDee Lamb.
Stepping up in a big-time way. How about, we're getting a lot of love for Michael Gallup. Nice return for MG, drawing a ton of pass interference calls that help move the football for the Cowboys.
I feel like at times the nosebleed guys, you discredit Gallup a little bit. And I felt like yesterday, like him being a factor should have earned a little bit more of y'all's respect.
Definitely earned some more respect out of me. And I've always been a fan of his. I just always felt like people jumped the gun. People were trying to, after like his rookie year or second year, like Gallup's number one wide receiver. Gallup's number one wide receiver.
Yeah, he's
like,
not that.
Like, we got to temper that.
Yeah, that's where Eric's been off.
Okay.
As a complimentary dude to CeeDee Lamb, and with the way this wide receiver core looks right now, like you need all the Michael Gallup you can get.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
And you're right. I mean, yesterday he made a massive impact in the game, and it was awesome to see him get that touchdown.
And Noah Brown was still a factor, too.
He was?
Yeah. Like three productive wide receivers. This is a lot of fun. And I love how Cooper Rush isn't dumping it down and throwing it to the tight ends all the time. Let's actually get it to the fast guys.
Sure.
And
well, they're setting
working
it up
out for
too.
Bigger plays.
They're setting it up with the blocking, too. They figured out, like last week, you know, the CD had that drop against the Giants. It was a max protect play. The shots they were taking down the field were all max protection plays.
Yeah.
Tight ends in, backs in, all that stuff in. So, you know, they're going to give Cooper Rush the opportunity to throw the ball down the field because you got a guy that can separate down there.
And you really needed it more so than any of these games. Yesterday, you needed it. You couldn't run the ball for squat.
No.
You had to push the ball down the field, and it was really nice to see
that. Okay, speaking of that, what do you think of them still calling 27 runs? 27 runs at under 3 yards per carry.
You know what? To me, I might have gone a different direction with the runs, and I mean the different direction of where you were trying to run the ball, because you were not getting anything on the inside. You really weren't getting anything on the edge. There was one play that I watched where they pulled McGovern, and it was like a 7-yard gain for Zeke. All their running really came on one drive, the touchdown drive. I think it was like 7 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards. It was all really on one thing. I just don't like the way – to me, with Pollard's tough, but I'm not running him inside. You know, I'm not trying to find things inside on him. And I running against, you know, as you're watching that game, I never got the feeling that they were ever in control, but they didn't really block Sweat all that well in the run game either on the, you know, on the edge at Tyler Smith and then, you know, Steele. So yeah, I think overall, you know, running the ball, they have to do it just to try and keep the rush at bay a little bit.
It's alarming, though, that in half the games you've played, Pollard's been under 1 yard an attempt. Like, it's real hit or miss with him right
it
now.
Is.
They need to figure out what works.
And, they tried to get him the ball with a couple of passes. I mean, there was one tackle early. It was a 3rd down and 7, I want to say. And Rush tried to dump it off to him, and Holcomb made an awesome open field tackle, or else Pollard would have gotten upfield and gotten that first down.
He would have. And that's the problem is we're one of the worst – I say we – Cowboys are one of the worst screen teams in the league when it comes to you got to figure out ways. Everybody else seems to have a really good screen package, and yours looks like you're playing in quicksand.
It does.
I do think they had to run the ball yesterday, though, because, one, you're,
just at, just
most to, of it, yeah. you're in you're you're milking a lead there in the second half for a majority of the time. And secondly, like, you're still playing with a backup quarterback. You can't just, I mean, he got lucky twice yesterday.
Yeah. Interceptions.
Two interceptions.
And they're called back to penalty.
Yeah, and that was the thing, 40 times with him.
Yeah, when you look at the stats from this one and just crunching some of these numbers, man, the penalties were huge. And how nice is it to look at a game where it's in the Cowboys' favor?
Where it's not you committing all the penalties?
Washington. That's 11 penalties for 136 yards. It really was the story of the game.
Can I throw my MVP guy out there?
Yeah, give it to me. Give me your stars, boys.
How about Bland? I mean, yeah. Bland figures out, like, they're like literally coming off the field after warm-up, and they walk up to him and go, bro, you're starting in the slot today. And let's not act like that the Commanders don't have talented wide receivers playing in this game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the quarterback is awful. You know, that's the thing that helps you the most. But, man, those receivers, for him to have to carry in the whole field, you know, they were talking about, though, if something would have happened to the outside, that you might have seen Joseph play more on the outside than, say, than Bland. They really like Bland playing that very important nickel corner back position.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, that's one of the most difficult positions in the entire sport.
Got to carry everybody all over the field. Tough. Yeah. And for him to read the interception the way out of zone coverage, drive on the ball, undercut the route, make the play, you got to give him credit for that.
How about Brett Maher? Already, absolutely. Like, with over, I think he's got four now 50-plus yard field goals, which doubles what the Cowboys had all of last season. And then the play brought us that you mentioned in the postgame show.
He saved you 3 points is what you did.
Oh, on the block?
On the block. Because he tackled the guy. He tackled the guy in the open field, and that's going to be 2 points. You know, the Commanders didn't know the rule. You could pick that ball up and run for 2 points. And their guy hesitated, and they gave Maher a chance, but a great open field tackle to save 2 points right there. That, if it's a tight game, you never know what those 2 points are going to bring you.
You know, I'm going to go with Trevon Diggs. I think the game is different if he's not swatting those out of the air like he did. And yes, the penalties, the turnovers by Washington was a big factor. Carson Wentz is trash, but this guy is really making a name for himself. Not only does he leads the NFL in all passes defensed. Mm-hmm. He's on pace for another 8 or 9 picks. Like, I think what Trevon Diggs has done early in this season, and specifically yesterday, he's thrown his hat into the ring and silenced some of the doubters, myself included.
Yeah.
You know, and to have two in the final, what was that, 5 minutes of the game, where he just elevates and knocks him out of the air?
Yeah.
It was so good.
He was the highest graded defender, according to Pro Football Focus yesterday, for the Cowboys defense. And one of the things that John Oney has pointed out is Trevon Diggs, he's a guy that it gets a little grabby at times, you know, with his physical nature of playing.
Yes,
and gets flagged a lot, but he hasn't been flagged one time this year. So that's another notch on the belt of Trevon Diggs. He's playing like an elite corner, and it feels like it's been years since we were watching him get burnt in one-on-ones in Oxnard. So good for him.
Oh, he got toasted the first time that he played Terry McLaurin on that.
Yeah. And since then, he's had McLaurin's number.
He sure has.
6'8", is like, who is number 24? That dude was a gamer, and that was Izzy McQuamo.
McQuamo
had a nice game. I thought this was interesting that Terrence Steele's allowed the 7th fewest pressures among tackles so far this season.
Yeah, I had a big concern about him, and I still think he's a much better run blocker than he is a pass blocker. But, man, I'll tell you what, he has played far more than what my expectation was.
Bounced back nicely after week one. And look, granted, he was playing against probably some of the best pass rushers he's going to play all year.
Yep.
Week one with Shaq Barrett and Joe Tryon and the guys at Tampa Bay. I mean, that's a good way to get ready for the season. You know, ramp up there and get your feet wet against Tampa Bay and what they're bringing to the table there. But, I mean, the pressure that the Cowboys defense was able to put on teams, and I think right now that's why you have to be just so excited that this team is going to be the real deal moving forward. You know, the intentional groundings that they forced on Carson Wentz, it's even if they're not able to get home, they're just disrupting the timing. They're disrupting everything offensively that they're trying to do, and it's coming from a bunch of different places. It's not always Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
Fowler was great,
great
yesterday, right? Neville Gallimore, we've kind of been waiting. Osa's had a good start to the year. Bohanna's had a good start to the year. Tristan Hill made some really good plays yesterday, right? So, I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, we have him on every week. We've talked about Tank, but it's coming from a multitude of different players. We mentioned the secondary. You lose Jordan Lewis. Here comes Deron Bland. Nashawn Wright hasn't even gotten to suit up this year. Kelvin Joseph's been really good on the special teams side of things. So this defense, the depth, you can win with a dominant defense. And the Cowboys right now, is it crazy to say they're the best in the sport through the first 4 weeks of the season?
I don't think it's crazy to say that. They're close enough. I think it's third statistically at about 15.5 points per game, and there's technically, but one of them, San Francisco, that's played a couple of really weird offensive opponents.
Yeah, they had that game against the Bears and the Monsoon that didn't end up very many points. Yeah, but if they give up 24 tonight, I think Dallas moves up to second.
Okay, yeah. So it's there, and it's doable. I think the run defense needs to be solved. And if I'm Dan Quinn and the guys right now, I'm like, what can we do? We got rid of Jalen Smith last year, and they're actually getting more yards per attempt on us so far through the first four games this year. So it's tough to imagine them making a run through the playoffs led by defense until they can get somewhere more manageable in the low fours at least.
Dallas, third in points allowed, seventh in total yards allowed, sixth in passing yards allowed, eighth in third downs allowed, fifth in red zone conversions, third in sacks per attempt, third in points per drive, and fourth in yards per play.
Okay.
I mean, they're right there in the top five, basically, of a multitude of different categories. They're playing dominant. I think people will continue to have the caveat of, well, let's see them play a real offense, and you're about to get a chance over the next 2 weeks.
And we're getting a lot of texts about, like, a Dak update, and I know we've got, insider in Brian Broaddus that you're not going to be able to hear anywhere else. Yeah. Brian, what are you hearing on Dak?
Yeah, he's not. It's unrealistic for him to play this week. I would expect that Philadelphia, that's when they're going to – that's the next hurdle you have to get to, but this week he isn't going to be out.
Not realistic this week, maybe next week against the Eagles.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, coming up at 4:20, we're going to have the Cy Young Show. Chris Young is going to join us for what will probably be the last interview of the baseball season as they get set for a huge season-ending series against the Yankees. Could be historic. So Wolchuk has your top 10 at 4:20 coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you are hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333. Go online to truckwreck.com. We're 1 hour from the Cy Young Show here. The Rangers GM, Chris Young, will join us and talk to us about this historic series coming up there in Arlington and where the offseason will go from here. So CY in about an hour. Here's Wolchuk with his top 10.
Yeah, we got some thoughts on the Cowboys win. Also have National Taco Day tomorrow, so let's get you jump-started on that with the best types of tacos. What are your favorite tacos? 877-881-1053. And if you got a favorite joint, let us know where to go so we can let the Metroplex
Jack
know.
Herrera. You got the pulled pork tacos.
Okay.
Chopped brisket tacos.
Ooh. All right.
Man. Barbecue tacos.
My favorite taco is the one I'm currently eating. Okay, so
just whatever that may be.
There's so many delicious tacos out there. I've kind of matured into more of a corn tortilla gentleman. Got
what?
Respect for the flour.
How?
Ton of respect for the flour.
No way.
And I'm a breakfast taco guy. Like the leftover brisket. Okay, you just did a nice brisket Sunday afternoon, Monday morning. Here comes the leftover brisket. Here comes the eggs. Here comes the cheese, and we party rock that way. So, I mean, it's hard to choose. The birria tacos, it's kind of like the new wave right now.
It is, and I've never even had one.
What is a birria taco?
They're delightful.
Oh, we'll get to the birria.
Okay,
they're going to be in this.
Now,
explain.
You're not saying burrito. It's not a burrito taco.
It's the dipping ones, right?
Yeah.
Dippies. The dip joint. Yep.
And a lot of nice cheese going on in there. Yeah. So,
it's hard to screw up a taco. So, how do you go from the flour tortilla to the corn tortilla? You know, that's only for an authentic experience.
Marry a girl from Mexico.
Okay.
And then it'll all sort of just...
So you're getting just changed right in front of you.
I'll put it on my bucket list.
Man, corn tortillas.
Dude, here I'm getting...
She's probably making them.
Yeah, no. Whenever I was in Mexico...
I've had bad corn tortillas, and it's kind of scarred me.
Well, you know, I think the one of the keys there is to crisp it a little bit on the frying pan or whatever on the stove before eating it. Don't just take it out of the bag and rock with it that way. It wants a little bit of crisp for just a moment there. Heat that thing up. But
I'll give it a shot.
It's hard to screw up a tire.
It's not a health decision. It's not a health decision. It's a legit taste decision.
It's a legit taste decision. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of love for the pink tacos on the truckwreck.com text line.
Well, we're all pink inside.
I know Broadus was agreeing. Broadus, favorite taco?
Jack in the Box taco.
My man.
Lucius. Jay and the B, baby.
Let's see. Homemade tacos with using El Paso stuff.
Oh, yeah. All those ingredients.
Old El Paso joints.
Old El Paso,
I'm sorry.
That's a good taco.
All those yellow and red, green cans.
You made it in the oven and whatnot. You you put it in there. I like that, man. It's really crunchy to me.
So are birria tacos the cow cheek?
That's right.
That's what we're getting texted in. It's the cow
Google
cheek.
Says.
I'm into that.
Okay. I didn't even realize
I'll do
that.
Some cheek. Quickly, before we get into the top 10, some thoughts from this Cowboys game. CD's production level. You know, he's getting better and better as this season continues to unfold. If you look, you know, obviously the entire offense was just downright disastrous week one. He only had 29 yards, and his catch rate was at 18%. Week two, 75 yards, up the catch rate to 64%. Week three, 84 yards and a TD, 67% catch rate. And then yesterday, up to 97 yards, catch rate 75% and a TD. So I think, you know, if we keep going at this trend, we're looking at our first 100-yard performance, week number five here in L.A., SoFi Stadium against the Rams.
Well, that would be huge. I feel like he has silenced a lot of critics, right? Like the idea of not being a number one, that's out of there. He might not be a top five guy, but CeeDee Lamb's a dang good football player.
Very
and I'm glad
good.
To see him having all this success. And I can't wait to see how much better it gets when Dak comes back. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And Pro Football Focus has CeeDee Lamb as the highest graded Cowboy offensively yesterday. Caught 6 of 8 targets. And one of those was a 30-yard touchdown play.
Are we getting Gavin going from a Dak ass to a Dak head?
It's starting to feel
that way,
isn't it?
Are we moving on?
Let's go.
He's graduating.
Well, I mean, we're 3 games in. Cooper Rush is not doing anything to blow your skirt up. You know,
no, he's playing well.
Go beat the Rams. Like, Dak went to Lambeau. That's when we're like, holy crap, we got to reevaluate everything. You know? But it's so like, Dak averaged 41 against the East last year. Go put a 50-burger on Washington,
100%.
And then I'm impressed.
Like I think we go back and watch it, Brian. I mean, you're looking at this and thinking, man, if Dak's out there, you're probably beating the Giants by 20 to 30.
Said in the post-game show last night,
yeah,
I kind of felt like that if Dak was playing the last 3 weeks, they'd have won this game.
Sure.
We probably would have seen the better offense. But maybe what happened with him getting hurt made them reevaluate what they needed to do, you know, and now maybe that guy Mike McCarthy off the couch to say, hey, Kellen, we can't do this way. We've got to figure something out. And they've done a great job managing Cooper Rush. And he's played well.
He has played well.
He really has. I didn't feel like the Cincinnati game to me was a surprise win. It was a surprise. I mean, I picked Dallas to win, and I'm thinking, but it was surprising to me how they did it, you know, with him getting to a great early start. Yesterday was a little bit more like Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
A little bit more like, oh, we can't run the ball. Okay, you got to make some throws. He made some really good deep throws.
Yeah.
That's something he could absolutely do. But I think the injury to Prescott, I think it was a wake-up call to that offensive staff.
Agreed 100%. And hopefully they don't revert back once Dak comes back in. Dak talked about things being simplified, like seeing it from the sideline. Let's continue that.
Amen.
And one of the nuggets on Cooper Rush is just how dominant he's been on play action, but on the flip side, just how terrible he's been when it's not play action. Yeah. Like Cooper Rush is not a, hey, let's just drop back and just sling it all over the yard. It's going to be bad for
there
you
were
because
more
without
throws.
Play action, he's the 7th worst quarterback in the sport according to Pro Football Focus.
There were more throws off the back foot yesterday than there had been the previous games.
One thing that is good to acknowledge is, and you mentioned the struggles with the rushing attack.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't go away from it, which is good. I think the Cowboys are making an effort to keep this balance. And I think that's important, right, with the play calling from Kellen Moore. They need to keep that with Dak. But just finding ways to win, different ways to win, and being able to stretch the field vertically, noticing, hey, if they want to call PI, Throw that one up there, Cooper. Go ahead and throw it up to Michael Gallup. Let's move the football that way. The Cowboys are showing a way to win whatever way we need to find a way to win on a Sunday.
Your Pro Bowl punter had a 22-yard punt.
They survived it.
And they survived it with no points.
No
so that
doubt.
Tells you a lot that you don't need to screw it up for the defense.
Well, yeah, your defense has been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But I do think, and we got a couple of texts, and we have a lot of people that are Cooper Rush supporters here, but a text from the 817, can you guys agree that if CD comes back and or he keeps improving with Rush and Dak comes back and all of a sudden the offense doesn't look good, I think, yes, the Cowboys would have to acknowledge if Dak comes back and it's a several-game display that he doesn't look good, then, yeah, you're going to evaluate maybe this is not the solution.
I will say
maybe
this.
Maybe Dak is no longer the guy.
On the postgame last night, everybody that called in, I asked them because they were talking about Cooper Rush, and I asked them, and I said, Dak healthy, would you still start Cooper Rush? And there's a lot of people turning on Dak Prescott right now.
There are, but I'll tell you that locker room.
The ones that call. I mean, Eric, am I right about that?
Every single one that called in was in favor of.
I said if Dak Prescott's healthy, and all things equal, Dak's healthy and ready to go, would you still play Cooper Rush? I know three callers in a row said they'd all play Cooper Rush. That's weird to me. That's
the
weird.
Grass is always
bunch
greener.
Of what have you done for me lately kind of guys.
That's, yeah. I think that's a society that we absolutely live in right now.
Yep.
That if you're finding a way, if this team was 0-4 right now, they couldn't get Dak Prescott back fast enough.
You know? Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that they're winning has been a great
a nice run, though.
No doubt.
Been a nice run.
Here's the top 10 most popular tacos. We start at number 10 with the chorizo tacos.
Okay.
Chorizo, yeah.
They don't
Mexican
usually,
sausage.
They don't really sit well with me. Try to avoid the chorizo
heat.
At all.
A little
all.
Heat.
Well, that's not a shocker, but you'll still eat them, right? Especially with some
them.
Eggs, because that's a good breakfast.
That's a great breakfast.
It's definitely a breakfast variety for me.
Number 9 is the carnitas.
Okay, yeah. Got respect for the carnitas.
The pulled pork, and that's good on a crisp corn tortilla. Maybe put a little avocado slice in there.
Generally, are we soft guys or are we crunchy guys?
I like crunchy.
Okay, respect.
Crunchy tacos.
I kind of like the double-decker.
50-50. Oh, like 50.
The gordita? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't decide, you know?
Because they're both so outstanding.
Amazing. Yeah.
No,
I'll usually order 3 and 3.
For sure. No, they're both incredible.
And to answer the 972's question, why did they do it to Romo real quick, just going back, we asked this to Barry Church. There's a big difference between the Romo-Dak thing and the Cooper Rush.
They were looking for a reason to move on from
with
Tony.
Cooper Rush, yes. Yeah. I don't think that locker room is in love with Tony Romo.
Dak beat the Packers and then the Steelers on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and Tony had been hurt like 3 out of 4 years. He was significantly older.
100%.
And the ceiling was still all out in front of him for Dak. He's a
Dak's
rookie.
A rookie.
Yeah.
You know what Cooper Rush is. Number
totally
9.
Cooper Rush hasn't played close to how Dak played in 2016.
No
There's
question.
Also that. Yeah. And I still think they should have brought Romo back anyways. So
number 9. Carnitas. The carnitas tacos.
You said that.
Wait, I was about to say, are we going backwards now?
Where's number 9?
Are you listening to the program, sir?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just talking. Number 8, and I'm not sure how to say this, the Campechanos?
Campechanos.
Yeah, you watch your mouth, pal.
Yeah,
sound delicious.
It's pork sausage, often sliced beef, pork sausage, and chicharron.
I think you nailed it,
yes,
bro.
Please.
Yep, it sounds delicious. It's a combination of all the meats, and I'm into it. Number 7 is the Tinga Tacos, flavorful chicken.
Okay.
Chipotle sauce, little hint of spice. Number 6, tacos de pescado.
Fish tacos.
Fish tacos.
Love fish tacos.
I was about to say, Broadus, I know that's your wheelhouse,
that's
brother.
That's my wheelhouse.
That spot you took us to in Oxnard, which was actually just outside of Oxnard.
Yeah. Spencer McKenzie's.
Was delicious.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic.
Spencer knows what he's doing, man.
Number 5 on the top 10 tacos, and we celebrate National Taco Day tomorrow, but we'll have a shortened show thanks to Rangers baseball doubleheader. Go out there, watch history.
Catch a ball.
Listen on the fan. You can hear every Aaron Judge at bat. Tacos al pastor.
Yeah, dude. And where my wife is from in Mexico, pork is their main meat. And so the al pastor tacos are prevalent there. And, yeah, they're outstanding.
Number 4, tacos de birria. Here it is.
Okay. See, this is kind of like the flavor of the month. I would say over the last 12 months, the birria, I know people are calling me out on the fan text here about the way I'm saying it. I apologize, but it has been, it's like taking social media by storm a little bit. Every time you go to a food page, it's here's birria tacos.
People are dipping, what are we dipping it in?
It's some type of sauce. It's like the French dip. It needs that
like
au
jus. Oh, I see. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's often goat, lamb, or beef, but
and it's melted
it's
cheese
saucy
and it's like
so they, it's not a cheek.
I guess it's not. I think that's the barbacoa.
Okay.
I think the barbacoa is the cheek.
Got it.
Number three, right on cue, barbacoa.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
It's great meat.
Number two, shrimp tacos.
Yeah.
You gotta love some shrimp tacos, right?
Fish shrimp tacos, yeah.
You go fried, grilled.
Grilled, yeah.
We're gonna get any carne asada up in here.
Carne asada?
Carne asada.
Number one, the most popular taco. Carne asada.
Ooh. Is that steak?
Flank steak or skirt steak sliced into some bite-sized chunks when we are partying with some carne asada.
If you see me, beef me.
There it is. The top 10 tacos.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Always love it. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, of course, you know we have a doubleheader of Rangers baseball tomorrow, 12:30 and 6:30 for your pregame shows as Aaron Judge and the Stankies are in town. He's looking for the all-time American League home run record, and he might do it right out there at the ballpark. Best of the weekend with Eric Chiafalo is coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Here we go, Nation. There's a little bit of breaking Cowboys news. Dak is having a medical appointment tomorrow. They're going to evaluate after that. And Mike said he'd like to have Dak have a full week of practice before he puts him in a game. So that kind of sets the scene. I guess it's going to have to be a big day for Dak tomorrow if he's going to play against the Rams, but it's very unlikely that he does. Maybe the Eagles. And then after that, it's the Lions, right? Rams, Eagles, Lions, next three. Maybe Philly, probably Detroit. Here's Chiafalo with the best of the weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much to get to. So little time. What a wonderful weekend it was. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the amazing Tour Day DFW, Flagtober, our first Flagtober being here in the G-Bag Nation. That was incredible and super nice to just meet all the wonderful Tolos that we got to hang out with. Wolchuk and I got to show up to the last stop on Saturday with the BetQL Saturday College Football Show hosting duties. But super fun time hanging with you guys, hanging with the Tolos, boozing it up, Twin Peaks. That was legendary.
Yeah, and a lot of folks came out for the Cowboy pregame show, too.
Yes.
Out there in the Miller Lite.
Crazy out there.
Area. So thanks to all you guys, too, that stopped by and said hello, waved, and shook our hands, gave us fist bumps and stuff like that.
The most shocking moment for me was Fossil Creek, where we walked in and, this guy was in a dress, you know? And
with money taped onto him,
In these days, I didn't want to cool bit, man, because he might have been really trying to pull it off,
right?
Or it would have been a she at that point. But he apparently lost a bet with one of the server ladies. So,
so it wasn't.
He had to spend the day watching football in a dress.
That's good.
Had really nice eyes, by the way.
Should we add that to our punishments?
But you notice he was chain smoking cigarettes out there?
He was like a lot lizard gal.
I'm sure he was a little bit stressed out with the attire that he had on.
Actually, so it might have been my dad.
Okay. All right. I like that as a bet payoff. ABC payoff. Anything but clothes. Sitting here on the Twitch chat doing a show. Where you're wearing, I don't even know what they wear. They wear like trash bags and like tape and what I'm talking about? Like the ABC parties? You guys familiar?
I hadn't heard about that.
You guys aren't familiar with ABC parties?
I mean, I've done some research in my day.
Is it safe for work to look up?
You're covering your body with things that are not traditional clothes.
Okay.
And so like places like Twin Peaks have their ABC party nights, like believe me. So it sounds like that's what that guy was participating in. Okay. So that might be kind of a fun bet payoff as well.
Board.
Needless to say, kick-ass weekend. Let's review it. It was not an awesome weekend for Jimbo Fisher, head coach of the Aggies, because on Friday, just like 24 hours before his game on Saturday, you could see his Ford truck being towed out of an A&M parking lot because I guess apparently no one is safe at A&M, not even the head coach Jimbo Fisher. So I don't know if he parked in, he parked in the Dean's parking spot or maybe it was, I like the idea of it being like the assistant coach's parking spot and then being like, yo, dial up the tow company here. Jimbo just parked in our spot. But either way, much like what happened to Quinn Ewers after the game, game one of the Texas football season, you had Jimbo Fisher getting his truck towed out of the A&M football facility lot, and everybody's making fun of him.
People pay big money for those spots.
If
you're going to be the coach taking it, you might want to make it real obvious, like Jimbo personalized plate or something.
Yeah, I would think that, I think he has a parking spot there. I wonder if it was a new truck. Because coaches get dealer cars.
Yeah.
They get dealer cars. And so.
Oh, it might have been a new truck. I could see
and
that.
And so somebody didn't recognize the truck. Like they didn't know that was Jimbo's new truck.
Could have been truck thieves disguised as towers as well.
We've seen that too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've seen that too.
Man, that's actually, I wonder how many people are doing that, man. You invest in a tow truck and then You just steal cars all over the place.
Yeah, I'm repossessing. Nothing to see here.
Yeah,
guy was late on his payments. 90 days.
That would be that'd be actually a really heady play. I don't know if anybody's done that.
The way that they've played, they're going to replace the truck for him this time.
Yeah,
it's like Jimbo. Sorry, bud. We already got you a couple inches.
They can afford it. They own him. Mississippi State. I think Mike Leach is like 9-4, 10-3 against the Aggies.
Mike Leach is always the man.
Should have heard his comments this week. Mike Leach is the man. And speaking of him, let's get to some sound here. He's got some wedding advice here for one of the reporters after the game. Mike Leach gets done mopping the floor with Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies. He gets asked a question, and here's just a little love advice from Mike Leach.
I know you have strong thoughts on weddings. I'm in the middle of planning one right now. Do you have any advice for me?
Who are you marrying?
His name is Trevor.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have to set up a meeting and I'll talk to him. Where's Trevor from?
He's from Florida.
What does Trevor do for a living?
He works in sports as well, covers football.
He does what?
He covers football as well.
Really? Well, I don't know. We'll keep a close eye on it, but whatever you and Trevor decide, I would kind of keep it on the down low, which you failed to do that. Trevor was probably planning to, but you didn't. So go ahead and don't say anything else about it, but as soon as the season's over, or even an off week, go elope. Trust me on that. Go elope. Because basically every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys until it's over. Once it's over, I mean, they'll be upset for a few days, but it'll be over. And then, you know, you cruise along, have a happy marriage, have a happy life.
I'll pass along the message. Thanks, Coach. Congrats on the win.
Trevor, unless he's crazy, is totally on my side. And trust me on this. If Trevor doesn't have the sense to do that, tell him to call me because, I mean, he needs to do trust. I've told all my kids, I'll give you $10,000 extra if you elope. So far, they haven't done it, but I would, too.
Poor gal out of her big day.
Bro, it's amazing, too. I love that Mike Leach, this is after a game. This is on the field. This is you just got done playing a game.
Yeah. It's the post-game interview.
Yeah. And you just won the game, so you're feeling good. But, like, I cannot wait to juxtapose this sound with some Nick Saban sound that I have. But what do you got here, Broadus?
I tell you what, this gal had the biggest smile on her face because she was trying to say thanks, coach, appreciate, and he still wanted to talk.
He
was like more interested in answering her question. It's awesome.
So good. He's a legend. Now just think about that. Okay, Mike Leach, college football coach, just had a big win over the Aggies, and he gets greeted by that reporter and he plays along, has a great time. Here's Nick Saban after his victory. Now Bryce Young goes down in the game. Mm. So the lady asks about that, but just listen to the difference here between Mike Leach and then Nick Saban immediately after a victory.
Coach, your Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young goes down. The rest of the team steps up. What'd you learn about the resiliency of the squad today?
Well, you know, what I'd like to talk about is our team. You know, our team just won a game on the road. Wasn't pretty all the time, but they made plays when they had to make them. We love Bryce. Bryce has got a sprained shoulder. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll get some diagnosis on him and see how he goes. But what about the game? What about the team? What about the players that played the game?
Sounded like Aaron Andrews in the pregame show yesterday with Brian.
I
want to talk about Cooper Rush. Why don't you ask me about Cooper Rush? You know what? I want to talk about my clothing brand. How about you ask me about my clothing brand?
Aaron's always been so nice to us. We caught her on a bad day, I think.
Yeah.
She
y'all's ass is hard.
Well, yeah, and she should have. She should have asked her about Uber, and she says it wasn't Uber. It was a car service, and so I my question was probably bad.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think it was a bad question there, Brian.
No. And that wasn't a bad question there from the reporter. She's asking about the resilience of the team after the quarterback goes down. And he's like, well, I want to talk about the team, okay? Like, Nick Saban is such a grouch.
I think that's Allie LaForce.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to answer your question, and it's the wrong question. It's so disrespectful. You know,
yeah, he's a bully.
I'm sitting here trying to do my job, buddy. I've actually been obsessing because I know how much of a jackass you are. And there's people we work with that are like this. And sometimes I flip out on them and it goes viral. But, I've been obsessing about the right question to ask you. And then I asked a very simple question. I thought it was generic. But you just want to be such a know-it-all P word. And that's a Rick with a P.
Yeah.
That now you got to come after me because you didn't think it was the best question or you want to for some reason you're annoyed by it. It's the, you know, it's like the worst thing you can do as a fellow broadcaster to an interviewer, in my opinion.
And then finally here, DK Metcalf, star wide receiver for the Seahawks, had a monster game, but was carted off the field during yesterday's action with bubble guts. So I believe that's the first of its kind in the NFL. He acknowledged
couldn't even walk it off himself.
No, that's what he said.
It happened after a long play, too, down the field, right?
It's a three-alarm clincher.
Yeah,
he says the clinch walk wouldn't have made it.
Wow.
So he had to get carted into the bathroom. He didn't want to have a Lamar Jackson moment. Yeah.
Especially in those white pants.
Yeah, and kudos to they were the dark blue pants yesterday for the Seahawks, but he didn't want to risk it. The clinch walk would not have made it, says DK Metcalf. There it is, best of the weekend.
Thank you, sir. Chia follows best of the weekend most Mondays at 3:40 right here on The Fan. Doubleheader tomorrow. Aaron Judge is going to be up to bat, I don't know, 9, 10, 12 times with a chance to make history. And you'll hear the pregame at 12:30, the second pregame at 6:30. Tonight at 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. So take it in while you can, Rangers fans. Let's talk about – no, it's a 5:30 pregame tonight. That's right, 6:05 first pitch. Let's talk about the number one reason the Cowboys have won three in a row, and then we'll get Chris Young, the Rangers GM, coming up in the next hour as well here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.